Mother Teresa. Ted Bundy. Martin Luther King Jr. Charlie Manson. The Apostle Paul. Hitler. You. Your postal carrier. And me. What do these people have in common? This is a real question. What do you think these people have in common? We're all children of God. Nice theological answer. I love it. Any other takers? What do these people have in common?
They had their own ideas.
Had their own ideas, for better or for worse. Had their own ideas about the way the world should be. Yeah.
We all bleed red.
Yeah, and great message, especially considering all the tragedy that's happened this week in New Zealand. Good reminder.
We're all basically human beings.
We're all fall on that spectrum. We all have some good in us. We all have some bad in us. We're all somewhere on that spectrum. Yeah, these are all good. These are all fine answers. But according to today's parable that we just heard read, and before we go any further, I feel the need to remind you that this is a parable of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, not of Tom Hathaway of Shirley, Massachusetts. So if you do not like what I'm about to say, I'm only the messenger. Okay? So according to this parable that we just heard read, each of those people in that list I started off with is equally deserving of God's love. So just sit with that idea for a moment. Each of the people on that list is equally deserving of God's love. So that little voice, right, that's bubbling up inside you right now, saying, no way, I don't think so, right? It's coming up in all of us right now, no doubt. But that little voice is coming up in each of us. It's really telling us two things. The first thing it is telling us is that we all have in our hearts, whether we know it or not, whether we're willing to admit it or not, we all have hiding out, camping out in our hearts, a little Pharisee. So the Pharisees, remember, they were the uber-religious people of Jesus' day. These are the people that he was continually having run-ins with. These are the people that he said that, you know, you need to be born again. And the thing about the Pharisees was that they believed that their exactitude in following the 613 rules found in the Old Testament, they felt that their exactitude in following those rules somehow earned their favor in the eyes of God. Right? And we all have a little bit of that in us. Right? I go to church. I bring in sandwich ingredients on Sandwich Sunday for the homeless people. I donate money. I volunteer. I do X, Y, and Z good things. Ergo, we logic, God owes us a little bit of love. At least a little bit more love than Ted Bundy. If we were honest with ourselves, we all have a little bit of Pharisee in our hearts that says through our actions and the things that we do with our life, God owes us. God owes us God's love. That's the first thing that little voice popping up inside us is telling us. The second thing that voice is telling us, that voice that's saying that we belong on a more exclusive list of God's beloved. The second thing that it's telling us is that we have not come to terms, heart-wise or mind-wise, we have not come to terms with the nature of God's grace. We have not come to terms with the idea that God's love is not something that we earn, but that God's love is a freely given gift to us. Now, as ironic as it may seem, it's exactly good, wholesome, respectable, upright church folk like us who have the hardest time wrapping our minds around this idea, with coming to terms with the fact that God's love is a free gift to all of humankind. Right? Because the only difference between the workers in this parable, the ones who put in the full day's work and those who just showed up at the end of the day and put in an hour's of work, the only difference between them is they both receive the same reward at the end of the day. They're both relying on the vineyard owner for their livelihood. But the difference between the two of them is that at the end of the day, those who put the full day's work in believe that they were just getting what they were owed. While those who only put in an hour's work recognize what they received as the gift that it really was. So being the upright, wholesome, respectable church folk that we are, right? We're the people who are putting in a full day's work. We come to church, we look at ourselves, we try to make ourselves better people. We go in, we serve at different locations to try to help other people. Every day of our lives, we work to make the world a better place. Right? And when we look around, we see a lot of people, and it does not quite feel like they're carrying their weight. In fact, it kind of feels like they're actively working to make the world a worse place. Right? And so it's hard not to feel a little bit resentful. And it's hard for us as the good, wholesome church folk that we are to really come to terms with the fact that we're not earning God's love, but that God's love is just being given to us. This parable is about us right here gathered at Hillside Community Church. Now, there's a radio host by the name of Brian Chappell. He happens to be a Christian radio host. But he likes to tell this story about his childhood as a way of helping church folk like us come to terms with the radical nature of God's gift of love to us. So one day when Brian was about 8 years old, his father was teaching him how to use one of those old-timey two-person saws, you know, like that. And they were out in the woods behind their house, and they were just going around to some trees that had fallen down already, and were just practicing using the saw. And as they were going around, just kind of chopping through the wood, one of the logs that they happened to saw through, it had a rotten core in the center of it. So that when they saw it all the way through and a little round cross-section of log fell off, the rotten core in the center of it looked a lot like a horse's head. So when little 8-year-old Brian saw that, he immediately got an idea. So he grabbed it, he shoved it in his jacket, and he held on to it until he got back to his house. And we got back to his house later that day. He pulled it out, and he set it out on a table. And then he went and got a piece of 2x4. He took the 2x4, and he glued the round piece to one end of the 2x4. And then he went and found some rope. So he got some rope, and he glued it to the other end of the 2x4 to make a makeshift tail. And then he went and got some sticks. He got 4 sticks, and he glued them on to make in the back and in the front to make some legs on this thing, right? And then he went and got about a dozen nails, and he nailed them in just part way, all the way down the length of the 2x4. And he's an 8-year-old, he's not a carpenter, so you've got to imagine they weren't perpendicular with the wood, but they're going every which way. At that point, he decided his project was done, so he got some butcher paper, and he wrapped it up, and he slapped a bow on it. And when he took it to his father, gave it to his dad, and his dad opened it, and his dad did what any good parent would do. He'd say, "Oh my gosh, buddy, this is so wonderful, this is so beautiful. What is it?" To which Brian said, it's a horse tie rack. A tie rack that looks like a horse. And the dad said, "Oh, of course it is. Of course it is that." And then I took that tie rack and he put it up in his closet and he used it for years and years and years. Now, at the age of 8 years old, when Brian gave that little tie rack to his father, in his mind, it was an objectively good thing. An objectively beautiful thing, an objectively useful thing. In his mind, it was a work of art fitting to be displayed at the MFA down in Boston. But as he got older, as he matured, as he gained perspective, he came to realize that in all actuality, this gift that he'd given his father was quite ugly, truth be told, and in fact, it was barely usable. You could hang maybe 2 ties on its 12 pegs, and even they had a big chance of falling off. So you see, well, what happened there, it wasn't that the tie rack was in itself an objectively good thing, an objectively beautiful thing, an objectively useful thing. That is not why the father accepted that gift and used it. But rather, the father accepted and used that gift, as broken and ugly and unuseful as it was. He did that because he loved his child so very much. You can probably see where I'm headed with this. Because all those activities and actions that we partake in, that we think that are earning us God's love and God's affection, if we take a good, long, hard look at it, we begin to realize how imperfect they really are. And I have in mind this morning, especially, I'm thinking of the Friday Cafe. And I know I talk about it a lot. But a lot of you have already been and volunteered over there, and I'm going to keep talking about it until we get 100% participation over at it. But for those of you who don't know, the Friday Cafe is a program over in Cambridge. It takes place on a weekly basis, apropos of its name. It takes place every Friday. And it's just a place where housed and unhoused neighbors can come together, can break bread, and enter into relationship with one another. They can be in community with one another. This sounds like a really beautiful sort of thing, right? Sounds like a really Christian sort of thing to do, doesn't it? But if you have ever in your life worked with volunteers, oh my goodness, you realize just how fussy and how just annoying working with volunteers can be. Because just as the guests, the homeless folks who show up to the Friday Cafe are bringing with them all of their brokenness, so too are all the volunteers bringing with them all of their brokenness. And if those volunteers have had a bad week and have a hard day, they're going to show up and they're going to be short-tempered with other volunteers. They're going to be territorial with the little job they've been given, and they're going to metaphorically smack the hands of other people who try to assist in that work. Sometimes they're even going to be snippy with the guests who show up, and they're supposed to be serving. They'll be a little testy with those exchanges. And this is the weirdest part to me, is some of these people, they're just so particular about what they're willing to do and what they're not willing to do. So you have people show up and say, yeah, I want to serve on the food line, but I'm only willing to serve soup. I'm not willing to dish out Caesar salad or macaroni and cheese. Again, why is that a thing? I could not tell you. I do not understand. But it is a real life dynamic that springs up week after week after week at the Friday Cafe. And while it is really easy for us, right, to recognize the brokenness and the weirdness, right, and the particularness of other people, if we look at the activities and the work and the service that we do that we think is earning God's love for us, we would have to admit, that is equally, or at least similarly, imperfect and broken and weird and strangely particular in what we're willing to do and not do. That's the nature of the beast. That's the nature of who we are. So what this parable this morning it is trying to tell us is that we do not earn God's love for ourselves by virtue of the beautifully and majestically carved stallions that we lay at God's feet in the form of our worship, in the form of our various forms of service in the world. But rather, what this parable is saying to us, that God's love is a gift. God's love is a gift freely given to us to work in and through our lives despite the decrepit rotten log, horse head tie racks we keep throwing God's way. And I know that is true. And I know that is true because just this past Friday at the Friday Cafe, as broken and imperfect as it is, we broke a new record. And we served 304 individuals over the course of the afternoon. And just for reference, the average soup kitchen, and there's about like seven or eight other soup kitchens in Cambridge, they serve on average 120 people a week. And they've been all going for 25, 30 years. The Friday Cafe is 5 years old. And we're serving 304 people through this imperfect system. God's spirit and love is work there. At work at that place. And for that, I think the only thing that can be said is thanks be to God.